Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up. Link it up. And take it away. Take it away.
Get off your knees, Link. That new show intro stuff.
Put your pants on.
That's to
Nobody
celebrate.
Wants to see that even over the air.
To celebrate the release of the third Inuyasha movie in the United States.
Duhamaha?
Third Inuyasha movie. Inuyasha. You don't watch Inuyasha?
Maybe. What the hell is it?
It's anime.
Oh.
The third movie was released in September.
Just that Japanimation stuff going on there, huh?
And speaking of movie releases, November 9th is the release, first ever release in the United States
of
Good to See You Again, Alice Cooper.
Ooh.
The film made of the Billion Dollar Babies tour.
Ooh.
November 9th. I have a...
And we know that because Dan absolutely detests Alice Cooper.
Yeah, that's it. I have a bootleg copy of that from a German print that I got at a a record show.
La 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 la. I'm not listening to you.
15 years ago, it was on VHS.
Note, Mr. RIAA, that it was Dan with the bootleg stuff.
But see, you know what? November 9th, I'm going to go buy it when
You're
it comes out.
You're going to have the real deal.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you could not have gotten that anywhere.
Yeah.
Except for a bootleg copy. It was a horrible transfer. It was all staticky. I mean, it was all right. And German subtitles at the bottom. And I'm no good at German, but I couldn't even make out what the subtitles were. But I'm excited. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
And you know what? Speaking of non-Linux stuff, let me get something pushed out of the way.
All right, you do that.
But it is podcast related. And we can probably, after this, roll right into the comment we got from John, who emailed Pat about last week's show. Yeah. Anyway, I said to myself, you know what? I love comic books. We should do a comic book
podcast. Damn, you love comic books.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, it's like, I love nothing more than sitting around with my friends, bullshitting about comic books, talking about them. It'd be cool. And I said, well, I'd actually need to find somebody that's into comic books as much as me. Maybe there's a comic book podcast out there already. So I went looking, and I found one. It's called Fanboy. Fanboy. And I was like, whoa, this is cool. Now, these guys actually have artists, illustrators, writers, inkers, and everything that are on the show, the bigwigs in the comic book industry. And they had a podcast, so I slapped it in a bash botter, and I ran it. And I came back, you know, a little bit later, and I had like...
Those unreliable bad scripts.
I have 15.
Never work right.
I had like 15 shows that got downloaded. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty large feed. I was ecstatic, right? And I copied the first, the latest three,
right,
over to my iRiver, and went off to go to work the next day. And I was like, I wanted to listen to the third last one because I forget who Peter David was on there talking about the Incredible Hulk and some stuff. And I turn it on. I'm listening to Peter David, and I'm like, I'm like, wow, this is really cool. This is really cool. I get about 5 minutes into it, and it says, to hear the rest of the interview, please download the show from our archive section on the website. I'm like,
no.
What the hell? I was like,
way.
So I switched to the second last one, and I look at the time, and it's like 60 minutes long. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. I listen to the second one, 60 minutes long. I listen to the last one, and that was about 60 minutes long, full episode. So I'm like, I go over to the website, and I'm like, well, Kevin Smith was on there. They had one about Serenity. So I start to figure Aaron would like the one about Serenity. I go to download them. I go to their archive section, click on the download, and it asks me to log in. It says, the cost of this download is 88 cents.
Get out.
Or you can get a subscription to some service for like $8 a month. You can download 30 times.
Whatever. I'm like, you know, they're doing that so they can pay for their freaking bandwidth.
Like, what the hell? Why? Why do you have to charge? Why?
They're doing it so they can pay for their
bandwidth.
But they have people. Dude, they have. They're sponsored. They are sponsored.
Well, then they shouldn't have a problem.
They have ads all over their website, and they're charging you 88 cents for a download.
That sucks.
Screw that. I'll listen to the new episodes as they come out because I'm a fanboy. But, forget it. I'm not going to pay 88 cents because I'm a cheap bastard. I'll trade them a tech show episode.
There you go.
I'll do a trade,
a swap. We can put a new comment on our tech show downloads that, you know, like if you're a greedy bastard and charge for your podcast, then you have to pay us $1.50 for each one of ours. Or put them back, damn it.
I just thought that was lousy. But, you know, and then I said, well, I still would. I like their podcast. I like their show. But, right. Again, it's not like I had mentioned last week giving accolades to Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Yes.
I love that podcast.
Yes.
And
they actually wrote us back, right? One of the guys.
Right. And I butchered their name. I called it Games Entertainment and it's Games and More Entertainment Radio. And I like that because there's like two, and sometimes they have guests on, and they're sitting around talking about the games. What I found Fanboy to be was pretty much what Al Canton always used to write write to us about and say, hey, you should be more professional, have the guests on, don't bullshit about, go off on tangents, don't talk about your likes of this and that, you know, stuff like that. I like Games Entertainment More Radio because they do that.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to have a comic book podcast that does talk about that. And if you can get the bigwig guests on there, that's great. But, you know, talking about how you feel it's going or the series of books is going, what do you think is good or bad, I would like to hear other people's opinions, or I'd like to express my opinions with somebody else, not just hear somebody, you know, interviewing somebody else.
Right.
That's my opinion.
So where does that put us then if you want to hear more professional podcasts?
No, I didn't say it does anything.
I think we're professional now.
I meant to say I don't want just a strict interview thing, reporting like news, and just, you know, I want that banter or whatever. What the hell do I know? Whatever.
More banter.
More banter.
More playful banter, yes.
Nobody wanted to go see Doom with me this week.
No, I did want to go really, really bad, but unfortunately, I had my daughter's very first parade to go to, and went there and watched all of that stuff, and they were really good, but unfortunately, they had this thing where, like, they had this all-terrain something. Oh, thank you, dear. They had this
down in Hellertown?
Yeah, it was down in Hellertown. The Off-Road Association or something down there. A bunch of 16, 17-year-old kids riding around on motorcycles and ATVs and four-wheelers and stuff like that. Just going, you know, absolutely bananas. And then, of course, wouldn't you know it, you know, the whole time they were in front of me, I was, like, grabbing the kids in front of me going, you better get them the hell out of the way because one was going to get run over. Wouldn't you know, they got down the street around the corner. And one of them said that they're quote-unquote throttle stuck. And he landed his four-wheeler on top of an 87-year-old person.
Like 87, yeah.
Yeah, doing 40, 50 miles an hour, he landed his four-wheeler right on top of him. I knew that was going to happen, man. So that was my interesting Sunday. But I really did want to
go. You saw that?
No, it happened right around the corner from us. So I kind of missed out on that.
Bring that movie camera.
I did have it, but it was, you know, wasn't in the right spot to get that. It's probably a good thing because I'd have like wigged out and choked the shit out of the kid or something. Probably
beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you would have had great pictures though.
Yeah. Right. Look, here's the accident.
Remember
here's Link handing the camera to his wife. Look, here's Link choking the shit out of the kid.
Just remember to frame your shots.
Yeah. So I missed it because we didn't really get back in time, and I was really tired when I got back anyway. You know. It's one of them.
And for everybody who wants to know, what's the name of our guest?
I wanted to go, but unfortunately, I didn't get your email until Monday. So I sort of missed
you know what,
your email.
Alan? Don't worry, I didn't go yet. I was thinking about going tomorrow night, but
okay,
we got to.
Cool.
I got to make sure we do the jack o' lanterns before we leave, before I leave. So I would love to go tomorrow night if anybody's around.
I might actually be able to.
Yeah, I'm not
that.
Sure now. Tomorrow night.
Now
not
you're
good.
Pussing out again.
I might be able to. Yeah, see, you know, you're telling.
I'm not pussing
you're
out.
You're trying to get. Man, it must have been hell for his wife trying to get married, you know? Hey, Ellen, let's get married. Yeah, that's a great idea. Oh, we'll do it tomorrow. I was going
to
go through my Matchbox car collection tomorrow, and just not a good time for me.
Hey, I've got some really nice old ones. Mm. But then again, I'm old, so that's why.
Who's our guest tonight?
We're talking to Viral Ken.
Now, what time are we supposed to call him?
9-ish, I told them.
9-ish.
9-ish. What time zone
Nine.
Would that be?
He's in Eastern. He's down in D.C. area.
15 minutes.
15 minutes. I can do my Ubuntu stuff, maybe.
There was a question on the chat right before we started from, I think it was Tech Wizard, who asked if we think that OS 10 is going to be, is going to start to take some, desktop share percentage away from Microsoft. And
away from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
No, I don't think it will.
I think it will. I don't think it'd be much.
Not much. No more than 10%.
I don't think it'd be much. I think it will for sure. And especially when it comes out and starts running on x86. It'll take some away. Won't, like I said, won't be much.
It won't get a lot, but I think it will get some.
Here's the question. I was wondering if we thought that OS X would gain market share because it could be installed as a replacement for Windows. And I would guess that he's probably referring to when they move over to the x86 architecture. And I would say my opinion is no. Because they are not going to, if they don't release it as a software install for a standard Intel architecture machine, that the majority of people are not going to go through the hoops required to install it or have somebody install it for them, quote, you know, like a friend or something. I don't think they'll go through that process. I don't think so. And even if they offered it as a separate package that would install on just any Intel architecture, I seriously doubt, unless they went and bought a machine from Dell or at Staples or wherever with OS X installed, I really don't see them doing that. That's just my opinion.
I disagree.
Look at the whole Linux thing.
I see your point, but you know what? Everybody's touting OS X is being easier to use than Linux. I don't know how, but easier to use than Linux. And it's got that flashy popularity thing going on. And you know that somebody has in the works already some kind of a little patch that you can stick on your system, which will make a standard OS X x86 install fit right on whatever the hell machine you happen to have at hand. Or they will.
Yeah, but again, I don't see people doing that.
I don't see it as business. Well, I don't see really as going to be business people. I would say like, you know, the leaders, LEET, L-E-E-T, not L-E-A-D. You know, some of the gamers and crackers and crap like that will be. They're going to switch from their Windows 2003 thing over to.
I don't. Unless it comes installed. Now, I think that the ease of use is a myth. Because I see firsthand when we put people who are accustomed to Windows mm-hmm. in front of an OS X machine, they're completely clueless.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, just a couple minutes of using it, there'll be no problems, right? I even have my boss say to me, who is a Mac user, that we have to have every single application we could think of that they want to use on the dock.
Right.
And my thing is, like, they're like, well, they couldn't find Adobe Reader, or they couldn't find the Grab app. I'm like, it's in the applications directory. Well, they don't know where that is. Well, they don't know how to find it in there. Internet Explorer is not on the machine. Yes, it is. It's in the application. I don't put it on the dock. I put Safari and Firefox on there. Mm-hmm. But people don't understand that, and they hate a single-button mouse. They absolutely hate the single-button mouse.
I'm with them there.
All right. So if they use
Mighty it, Mouse.
Right, if they use it for about a week and a half or so, they get accustomed to it. They could do the same things that they want, or what they wanted to do over and over. That's because they've learned how to do it. It's not that it's easy. They've learned how to do it. Adding a printer blows them away.
Right.
You know, they don't add printers. The nice thing about it is usually if you plug in a USB printer on the OS X machine, it'll automatically configure it for you. But if they have to put, you know, if they have to do anything else, it just blows them away. I don't think it's really any easier to use than any other operating system. Installation of software.
Well, it's just pretty. That's all.
Right. Installation of software is pretty much, you know, the same thing. You either have to drag the application into the applications folder or run it from wherever or wherever you want to put it. Typically, you should put it in the applications or you run an installer. But,
Well, there's other really shitty stuff, too. Like, you have to, you know, you have to run X and, Darwin and all that crap, and you have different applications for different ones, and you have, you know, switch between the two.
Yeah, but you don't have to run X, but if you want to run something like OpenOffice or GIMP or Inkscape, you have to run X. And that's usually not installed, so you have to go and get your disks out and install it. Before you can actually
run it.
So
what you're saying is if you want to run any good software that's actually free, you have to install
the X server, which they do include, but they don't usually install it.
The X server, yeah.
Right. Now, speaking of Apple, this is good. A few weeks ago, I probably had mentioned that we were doing wireless testing and that the PowerBook was getting a signal about 30% lower than the iBook, which was getting about 50% the signal strength of a PC running an old $30 Linksys wireless card.
Right.
Now, I talked to the Apple representatives, and they said to us, "So that doesn't make any sense. That's completely opposite from what we see. Usually, the iBooks and PowerBooks are a lot stronger than the Windows PCs. That's not right. Something's wrong there." This is on multiple machines. They're like, "Well, how are you doing the signal testing?" And I said, "Well, first we started by looking at the bars. Then we started doing some ping tests and, just actually using it on the network, browsing websites. Then we got a monitor utility, which seemed to work all right and be a little more accurate. And then we also used Kismet, which told us the signal strength."
Uh-huh.
And they're like, "Oh, no. What you need to do is Apple just put out a really good utility called Apple Airport Monitor. You use that. And it should show you the results more accurately than all those other applications. Because they're non-Apple, they can't be showing you the right results." So I ran the non-Apple application, the Apple application, showed me the exact same results as Kismet would. But still, I mean, I'm sitting in a room. It's an HP laptop. This guy I have at work is running a $30 Linksys wireless card, is getting a signal strength of 70% or more, whereas the iBook is getting like 30 to 50% signal strength, and my PowerBook in the same location is 10% or under and almost renders it unusable. And we're 30 feet away from the wireless access point going through two walls. If I was in the same room as the access point, I couldn't get above 70%, which was really odd. Everybody else had 100%. Between 80 and 100%, I could get above 170%. I walked out of the room, it jumped up to 80%, going through a wall, which doesn't make any sense. You know, it's completely baffling. And they're like, "Well, there must be something wrong with your PowerBook, because it's ridiculous. The signal is all over the place. It's almost unusable at times." But the same thing happens with another PowerBook, and the same thing happens to other people that I've read about on the web. But Apple insists that their design is superior. So we're having them come in on Monday to look at this.
Yeah, but your PowerBook is metal top, isn't it?
I suspect it's titanium, right? What is that? Probably. What is this? What do they
yeah.
make this out of?
Yeah, which is a, which is a great. I was going to say, is it titanium? Yeah. But that's a great attenuator of signals, because your antenna's in the back of the in the top of the book, right?
No, it's you know, a pre-designed problem because
screen.
It's a giant freaking Faraday cage that they put your damn you know, they put
well,
your wireless
yeah,
card
was,
in.
That was the word I was thinking of. I couldn't come up with it.
So that's, you know, that's a smart
yeah,
thing.
You put the wireless,
you know, what,
the wireless
speaking
antenna
of that, have you tried that?
Inside of metal.
Yeah, have you tried that with one of the Macs that's not titanium? Like a
the
regular
iBook,
plastic?
Yes.
Like the white one or something like that?
Yes, and like I said.
Same
it's,
thing?
No, it's not. I get better signal, but still nowhere near.
Nowhere near the
strength
other
and the distance that I can get, well, that we got with the
and
HP
that, but
running.
But that's building the, that's set. Using the internal, their internal card.
Right.
So you're
when
still
you, when
surrounded.
When you turn your
yeah.
screen toward the antenna, does the signal strength go up?
Right.
Sometimes it goes down.
It's
like I said. Man. I was. Okay. I was.
Did, have you tried using an external card with it?
No, I don't have an external card with it. The Apple rep said to me. I said I was standing right underneath the wireless access point. I couldn't get more than 70%. He's like, well, you got to be more than 6 feet away from it. So I was standing 10 feet away from it, and it was like the signal was not even above 70%.
That's sad, man. We're going to get all kinds of hate mail now because he started bad talking OS X, which everybody seems to love except for me.
All right, before we go on to any more things, the wife wanted to come on again, Aaron, and talk about her transition from...
The wife.
Yeah, Linux.
She's going to reach over and belt him one of these days. I just hope I'm not in a path, you know?
Linux back to Windows. Not
we hope
here
we have
at
pictures,
the house,
though.
But Linux back to Windows at the workplace and her experience with that. So I'll turn it over to Aaron.
The wife? Is that better than the Slurpee lady? I don't know.
No, the Slurpee lady is way better.
The cooker, the cleaner, the breeder.
Oh, my. Now you are going to get hit, and it's not going to be pretty. Anyway, yeah, hi. What I wanted to talk about briefly, since me being here seemed to be fairly well received, is going back into the workplace and back into a Microsoft environment. When I worked at Rodale Press, I was in a Mac environment. I worked in graphic design for a publishing company, so I was Mac-oriented for those 3-plus years. And then I was home with my trusty Frankenstein laptop and then the newer laptop and the various flavors of Linux that the husband put on them. And about 4 weeks ago, I started a new job, and the computer I was given is Microsoft, I want to say it's not NT, 2000 for professionals, I guess, something like that. Anyway, I had not remembered or realized, frankly, how badly Microsoft blows. It's just, I've been really spoiled. And
that's why we all love her so much.
That's right. Well, you all know that, I mean, I'm no Linux expert. I probably know more than, you know, the chick next to me in line at the supermarket, but not enough to be intelligent. But I do know that my IT guy's advice at work when Adobe Reader crashes 4 times a day for no good reason at all is, oh, just reboot your computer. And that's his answer to everything, and that's ridiculous. And it's almost a brand-new machine. I can't run more than 3 applications at a time without something going horribly wrong. I'm hitting Control-Alt-Delete all the time. I'm getting constant, this program is not responding, crap. Steve, the IT, that guy, can't ever figure out what's wrong in his answer. And he's not a bad guy. He's overstressed because he's fixing everyone's computer all the time. And his answer to everything is reboot and see if it's better. And I'm just, I hear you guys talk and I know.
He's got a Microsoft certification.
Yeah. Is that what they teach you in that to get your MCSE?
Pretty much, yeah.
He's certified.
He's certified to tell me.
He's certified to tell you to control alt delete.
And at the company I'm working for, obnoxiously enough, everything is locked down. I can't scratch my own ass without calling Steve, the IT guy, who's too busy to deal with anything. And that's not his fault. It really isn't. I'm so out of the loop that having to reboot four times a day, I guess a lot of people live that way. And it shocks me, it surprises me, and it's ridiculous.
Now, just so...
Aaron, I feel your pain. I have to deal with Windows XP on my desktop at work with Internet Explorer, but luckily I was able to install Firefox.
Oh, they let you install Firefox.
No, they just don't know about it.
Oh, okay. Okay, honey, what were you going to say?
You had said to me that you were basically running three applications, the VPN client, Excel, and Adobe Reader.
Yeah.
And that's it, right?
Essentially, yes.
And it still cannot stay up for more than a couple hours at a time.
The big problem I have is that something in the whole setup is making Adobe Reader very, very unhappy, and I'm having to wait. I timed it 3.5 to 4 minutes to open a document when Adobe is already running, minimized.
Adobe Acrobat Reader?
Uh-huh. 7.0, does that sound?
That's wow.
6, 7.
But you know what? That application runs really, really outstandingly well on Linux, along with like 50,000 other applications all at the same time.
I'm used to on my laptop, which is no speed demon, but I'm used to running 7 or 8 things all perfectly happily. With no discernible loss of speed. And right. I have more than a couple things open, and the whole thing just grinds to a halt.
Yep.
If I do anything the slightest bit untowards, I get that window, the program is not responding, and then it usually hoses the whole machine. I got to start again, and it's just freaking ridiculous. And that's from a very, I'm not a novice at computers, but, you know, I'm not a power user. And it's, I think a lot of people have just become adjusted to living like that.
But you see, I don't even think it's that. If you hadn't had a husband that was into Unix and Linux and forced you to, like, use it, you wouldn't know the difference. And you'd be just like everybody else, just blindly accepting the fact that in order to use a computer, you must...
I think I would be frustrated as hell, but I think I would probably accept the frustration as the cost of doing business and thinking to myself, there has to be a better way, and not knowing that there was a better way. And I'm no, you know, zealot about anything, and sometimes the husband will rant and rave, and I'll just kind of, you know, pat him on the head and say, there, dear, you know, it's all right. The blue meanies aren't coming to get us, and... it just shocked me.
And Dan says, yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Damn. They're coming together. But I wasn't, I guess I was aware, but I didn't really remember. And before that, I was coming from a Mac environment where stuff does crash, but not with the heart-rending regularity of, and nothing's wrong.
Right.
That's the thing. There's nothing wrong with my system. It's basically brand new. It
just dies, yep.
It just dies. I have no personal documents. I have no spyware. I'm not out on the internet. I'm not doing any of the untoward things that the IT guy would like to blame. It's basically it is a clean machine aside from Excel and Acrobat, and you know that is just the baseline.
And you know, Microsoft would first off say, well, the problem is with the VPN client. And if you're not running the VPN client, the problem is with Adobe Acrobat. Because it's definitely not with Excel, and there's no problems with XP. You're running XP.
They'd want to know how you locked it down, too. You know.
And probably with Windows, you shouldn't lock it down.
Yeah. Can't, you know, use the policy manager like that and lock it down that tight, because then nothing runs and it shuts down.
Oh, and then you have an IT guy who's just losing his, you know, mind, because every time something blurps, you're forced into helplessness, and you call him and he goes, bleh, reboot it. And the reason he's run ragged is because he's got 37 people calling him on a cell phone every 2 minutes saying, you know, bleh, I can't do it. I just, the loss of productivity, and right now I'm working a temp situation where time is of the essence. There are literally billions of dollars at stake, and we're spending all this time calling the IT guy. It just boggles my mind. That's all. I wanted to say my mind is officially boggled. The end.
Hooray.
Yay.
Hooray.
Another person comes to the realization that Microsoft really
But that'll
does
all change
suck.
With Vista.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
All six versions.
It'll all change with Vista.
So yeah. I guess that's all I had to say, unless you want to hear about my experience at Walmart.
Uh-oh.
Oh, they tried to... No, my daughter... I went to buy my daughter a winter coat, so we found one she liked. We took it up to the cash register, and they told me I couldn't buy it.
Prohibited from buying children's wear?
Because the barcode scanner comes up sale not allowed, and the coat was recalled this morning, and they never got around to taking the 35 coats off the rack.
Neat.
So I'm there in line with two crabby kids, 7:30 at night, not in a good mood, with a coat that they won't let me have. It hasn't been a good night, but at any rate, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. That's right.
It's your story. She's sticking to it. Dan.
So I've got kids who need teeth brushing, so I'll say goodnight.
Microsloth.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank get this off.
Thank you very much.
Starts making a feedback.
Yeah, you're getting quite a following on here,
Hawaiian
too, Aaron. You know, everybody's commenting. It's so nice to have a woman on here they
well,
can listen
last
to.
Week I thought I sounded stupid, and I heard the playback, and...
See? Look at that. Nice job,
Next
Aaron.
Next week you
right
can talk
there,
about
huh?
your complaints about Copete and Game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Next week.
Next week?
Next week. We have a guest that needs to come on. Unless you want to come in towards the end, after you get them...
It's all right. It's always next week, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
oh, we'll try.
Yeah, Faison asked,
Put
what's the TLLS
on,
take on the Asterix Force? Force Fork. And, yeah, what Jason said, Asterix Fork? Yeah. We're
I didn't know
not.
That, and I'm on the mailing list.
This to me. Yeah. You know what? I guess we have to cut you two off and conference Verolin. Right?
It's Farrell.
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 Yeah. Which, it's too bad we couldn't have
oh,
him
yeah,
set up
open
with,
PBA. Okay,
with Asterix.
Digital says open PBX. I remember now.
Too bad we couldn't set him up with Asterix. Because we got to do all this happy
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, a little short notice.
Yeah, no problem. Should
okay.
we conference him? We'll let you guys go, and we'll conference him in. All right? All right?
Okie dokie.
All right, bye.
All right.
Good. Now that we got rid of them, we can do our real show, which is what we've been wanting to do.
should I just call Verol? Barrel? Should I just call him with that? No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, you know what? This is actually our Halloween episode, too.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
We didn't get any Halloween music.
Because next week it's too late, right?
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Well, I hope he's on. We'll find out in a minute.
Yeah. If not, you know, hey.
Here we go again with the... I got to close Skype down and start it back up for some reason.
That's the sucking kind of thing, isn't it? Do you have, like, some kind of background sounds or crap enabled on your... What is that, anyway?
What?
Your desktop. What window manager are you running over there?
KDE.
Oh,
I'll cover that later.
Oh, I see. Now, does that have... Let me ask you a quick question while you're rebooting.
Go ahead. Go rebooting.
Whatever you got to do. If you plug in a USB device, does it automatically get detected on there and pop up like it does on GNOME?
Good question. I haven't plugged in a USB device since I started using KDE.
How about
Except
if you
for
put
the
in
iPod.
How about if
the
you
iRhythm.
Put in a CD or a DVD? Does it automatically get mounted? And
I haven't seen it automatically get mounted, and I don't know because I put in a DVD earlier, And nothing. And I already had Zine opened up, and I think I set Zine. Shit, right? I think I set Zine as my. I'd have to check, but I wonder. That's a good question. I can test that in the middle of.
That right there is the one really wicked, cool, nifty thing that I enjoy about GNOME, actually. And if it weren't for that, I would just go right back to Fluxbox. Because Fluxbox rules, just like Tech Wizard says on the IRC chat.
Hello.
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 This is fun.
We're back.
It's like.
Sounds like it. Sounds like we're all here.
Veryl, are you here?
No, he's not. It's still connecting.
Veryl?
Wait, where did he go?
Nope, connection failed.
Is he even there?
He's failed.
Wait.
He dropped.
Oh, we got to drop you. Bye.
She's just freaking. Why don't I see Alan as being on?
You know, it's one of them things where, like, you got to Skype past to refresh this thing or something. I don't know.
Oh, I bet you I know what's going to happen now. Watch this.
You're going to have to reboot Skype, right?
Problem with sound device.
Dang. We got to get people on the asterisk box better, you know? Because,
I'm too busy trying to do this damn Skype stuff. Shit. I don't even know what's the deal with asterisk forking. I missed it on the chat. Now I got to go back and read the chat.
Well, I missed it too because I've been.
You've been looking at me.
I've been looking at you, looking at the other thing. Asterisk Digital says he installed asterisk at home. Me too. I really, really like it. It's way cool.
We need a lighter sound now. Hold on. It's the Daily Source Code. Wait, what is that show called? Is it the Daily Source Code?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not Doc Searles. Oh. We'll try it one more time. There's another person we can Skype in here. Dun, 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 dun. Pat's back. Alan's ringing.
Hello.
Alan's back. Veryl.
Veryl?
Is connecting. Still connecting. I'm not sure if he's not on the chat, is he?
I don't think so.
We should, like, make that a rule, you know? Veryl?
Hold on.
He failed again.
He's failed.
Kick us off again.
Bye.
All right.
This is really getting, you know.
You know what we could talk about during this whole process is the GXP32, I think.
GXP32?
I don't want to get into that yet. Now Skype's going to pop up. This is when it's going to work, and then we're not going to be able to get back to it. Damn, if it don't take long for... All right. Let's do this. Let's try this. We'll try a different person. Somebody wants to complain and complain about us. Dumby 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 dumby. Ringing, 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 ringing.
Oh, we got John Watson?
Well, he was there. I figured I'd call him.
Why not?
If he'll pick up.
Pick now up, John.
Canadians,
come on, John.
They should make us honorary citizens for the amount of Canadians we have on.
Oh, come on. We can't get anybody.
Hey, Dan, by the way, on it, you guys don't show up as me as being on either.
Who's what's bleeping? Do-do-do-do.
Ah.
No headphones.
Oh, no. Now, that could be a problem. Major echo.
You guys talk.
Okay. any of you guys check out XDVD Shrink?
You know what? I was looking at some really cool blog about that the other day. I think probably it was yours.
Yeah, it works pretty well, man. I was using LXDVD Rip, and that works fine. But this seems to be a little quicker to do everything.
Neato.
And it's got pretty GUIs to boot.
I saw that. It looks pretty good. I have not had a chance to try it yet because the DVD burner, I actually had to put in, you know, temporarily when I got all my stuff set up, I had to put that in my asterisk at home box, my home PBX, in order to install the software.
Uh-huh.
Because the other two drives in there were completely toast. And asterisk at home runs a really trimmed down version, I guess is a good way to put it, of CentOS. And like there's really nothing on CentOS this for asterisk at home except for asterisk. So I can't really check it out yet. I gotta pull the boxes down and pull that burner out and put it in something else I can actually use it with. I really want to get it in to my main workstation now, which is running Ubuntu, because it has that nice little drag and drop thing going on with the, you know, burning ISOs and all that happy crap. But I just have not had the opportunity to do so yet. Yeah.
I haven't tried it, but...
Yeah, but the XDVD, it's not, man. I've done a couple of movies and no issues whatsoever. You can set it up so it creates the ISO file if you just want to create an ISO and use another application to burn. You can set it that it cleans out your temporary work data sets, you know, all your temporary files, or you can keep them around whatever way you want.
Now, here's
a
question.
It's pretty simple and straightforward.
Okay, here's a question for you. When you're copying a DVD, is that just an ISO file that you're burning onto another DVD?
Eventually.
What do you mean eventually?
What it does is it rips the... Well, eventually it's going to create an ISO image before it does the burn.
Uh-huh. No, but couldn't you use DD or something to do that?
Ding dong.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Would that work? Does anybody know?
You can do all command line if you want. You know, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. The big thing with copying a commercial DVD, that it's a dual-layered disk, so it's double the capacity of what, you know, the single-layered disks have.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it rips and then re-encodes it so that it's more compressed. And then it creates a new file system and then a new ISO before doing the burn.
So what you can't, now, what you're saying is you can't actually just, like, use DD and make a disk image?
No, I
don't think you can. I think if you do DD, you got to make sure you can burn a double the
a dual layer
9 gig disk, the dual layer disk.
Aha! So that's it.
Get 9 gigs onto it.
I get it now. So what you're doing when you're doing the DVD shrink or XDVD shrink or whatever the hell it is. Is, like you said, you're re-encoding everything so that it fits on a single layer?
Yep, that's basically it.
Aha!
I mean, they have dual-layer disks out now, but the problem with them is they're still expensive. You know, I can get a single-layer DVD for 59 cents, where I think the cheapest dual-layers around now are like 10 bucks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point? I could just put it on a single-layer 59-cent disk than a $10 disk. I'm going to spend 10 bucks. I might as well get the real disc.
Sure. Now, is that a noticeable hit on DVD quality?
I don't think so. Not on a regular TV. Maybe on a computer, you know, with the higher resolution.
Uh-huh.
You'll notice it.
Uh-huh. I see. Well.
Now, that program, it's called XDVD Shrink, but I don't think it has anything to do with the old... Windows program, DVD shrink.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the name. Maybe we should try to get in contact with that guy.
Ow.
Damn it, I was on the wrong screen. I can't get back to the screen.
Dan, you having problems?
Ow.
I gotta.
He has way too many.
Hold on.
He has way too many screens running.
Hold on a second, you two.
I'm gonna hang up one more time.
Maybe.
Hello.
Hello.
Varel.
Yeah.
Hey. Sorry about the. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We got it finally working.
Yes. Can I call you back so I can conference the other two in?
Sure.
All right. I'll call you back in just a minute.
Sure.
All right. Bye. Oh, man, I can't. Now if I hang up, I can't go back to these
guys. Yeah, I have to kill the app and go back.
Oh.
You know, this is actually really good. We didn't get a slushie today. This is a Hawaiian punch smoothie.
Oh, I had to kill those two.
Which is good. Don't say that on the air. You know, they'll think you shot them.
I had to.
Listen, if you ever get in my way again, next time I really will kill you.
Damn it.
Come on. Come up already.
I'd like to see you try it, you lame excuse for a half dog.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Create a conference. Hack molester.
Mm-hmm.
Feral. Kudzuko. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hello. Hit the wrong button.
Varel dropped out again.
It sounds like he's having issues.
Hold on. I got to hang up you guys and call you again.
Why not? Skype sucks.
Dun, 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 dun.
Shaka. Shaka. You know what I heard? That they're having, some people are having issues with their phone companies doing that whole blocking that port thing for Skype.
Yeah, but
something, something.
We're talking Skype to Skype.
Yeah.
So why would they block?
So that you have to actually use the phone to call somebody? I don't know. Perhaps I'm talking out of my ass. I do that quite well, actually.
Now I'm getting so accustomed to finding these names. Please work. Just work this time. Pat's always like, he must be having his finger on that button.
I pick it up as soon as it rings.
It dropped Varel again.
You want to try connecting with just him?
Yeah, let me try connecting with just him.
Okay.
Ten minutes later, I feel like I'm running Windows over here with
this
Skype.
Show is a bust.
My balls are a bust.
It's my belief that my big balls should be held every night.
Oh! We've got big balls. We've got big balls.
They're such big balls. Fancy big balls.
And he's got big balls. And she's got big balls. But we've got the biggest balls of them all. Some balls are held for charity and some for fancy dress. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that Alan likes best. His balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's his belief that Alan's little balls should be held every night. Oh, Alan's got big balls. They're Link's big ball.
Right. Oh, works. Here we go.
Oh.
Varel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're trying to conference you in with the other two who couldn't be here tonight, Pat and Alan. And it's just, for some reason, it's just dropping you when we try to do that.
That's strange. Maybe next time we can set up your new system.
Yeah, Asterix.
Yeah, that should be working better.
Pat should have sent you that information, the bastard.
Dirty rat bastard. Could have sent you the information for the X10 client, and we'd all be on together having a good time. But oh, no.
Well, we have you on now. Pat and Alan aren't here, so we'll just let you go ahead and tell us the new updates of QDVD author.
Okay, but before I go along, I just want to say I started a new job, and I'm now on the Windows box as well at work, and so I can feel with wifey.
You can feel what?
I can feel with your wife, with Erin.
Oh, yeah?
Tell her there's a solution. She should install Colinux and Cygwin if she can. Or if she can't, use Knoppix. There you go.
I think their IT guy would do backflips out the window if she put on a Knoppix disk.
I wonder if she could sneak in there with like one of those USB key fobs with Linux installed on it and just like get in there and plug that in and boot from that.
That would probably work too. But thinking of it, I'm working with Windows, and it is fairly stable on my side. Maybe it's a hardware problem with her computer.
I guess it's probably happening with all their computers there, from what she's saying. But people are so used to it, huh?
It's a hard disk error because the hard disk is running a virus, Windows.
Yeah, I wasted the last 4 days trying to repair the laptop of my wife. I was running Windows as well, and for like the third time, she lost all her contact information and everything. So all the quirks involved. Recovery in Windows terms actually means format hard drive, install Windows. That's what they call recovery. Of course, when I realized that, it was too late. So it's great to be on the Halloween show. You guys dressing up as something? Are you dressed up currently? Linux geeks?
I'm dressed as Link.
Alan's... Dan is dressed up as a cross-dresser, but that's no different than, you know, most other days.
Alan and Pat are ghosts.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, no.
Yeah, I go this year as Qui-Gon Jinn. That's the guy from Star Wars. That's the one. So that's going to be interesting.
You're dressed as him now?
No, not now. It's going to be on Friday.
Okay. Now, is that tomorrow night you'll be doing that or on Halloween officially?
No, it's going to be on Friday.
Ah. Are you going trick-or-treating too?
That depends. Trick or treating for alcohol, maybe.
You got to go to special houses for that.
Trick or shot.
Yeah, I'll see what happens in DC if they are more open there.
Yeah.
But coming to QDVD author, last time we talked, I checked on my website. It was the 5th, which is quite some time ago, and. That was, I think it was show 70 or something. What show is it now? 106? 109?
I don't remember. Was it December of last year?
It was in February.
February, yes.
Yeah. And I checked the changes that have gone into QDVD author, and it's quite a lot. I have a list of about 20 major improvements to my program, which is good. But together with that comes also, unfortunately, the fact that it's not as stable as it probably should be. But I still consider it alpha, so I hope I'm excused from that side.
Not anymore, you're not. You just ruined it.
Oh, shoot.
There we go.
But keeping up with the wine spirit that went better this week, after 12 years, I hope that this month I'm going to be able to also switch from alpha to beta. Basically, just a few changes, major changes again, and then from there on I start doing some major testing and hardening of the code. I have some guys in Germany, which I hope that they might listen or might get the MP3 later on, that actually started helping me out. That would be that's really helpful. And I want to thank especially Rolf Wald for organizing everything. He found two guys actually who want to help me program a little bit, working on documentations and bug reports. So it's looking great.
Fantastic.
Let me ask you a question, Vero. How do you tell what version of QDVD author you're running?
Because
when I click the About button, I see your picture there, but no version.
Oh, that's a good point. We can put that in. Let me just start my version.
Nothing in like Helper or something like that? Yeah. Maybe.
I didn't look that far because I'm lazy.
One second. Looking up.
And I'm afraid to open up extra menus on anything. I don't want to causing a problem with Skype. Because Skype is a bastard.
That's pretty pathetic, man.
That's a good improvement there. I can just put in the version on
there.
There
we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Those sort of that are easy to implement and help the user big times, the best. And this one is a pretty easy one. But
next version.
Let's see. I want to tell a little bit about what went in
it's
since
the
last time.
It's the beta version, codename Tech Show, right?
Hey. Every release that I put out, I give it a name. Maybe this release, I will think about naming it the Linux Link Show.
There we go. Yeah.
That'll work.
Our contribution, yeah. The version number. Yeah.
But, coming to the program and what's possible so far, if you get it to work and if it's not crashing. As I said, crashing is currently probably pretty high on the... should not be happening, but it's still crashing. So I implemented drag-and-drop support for a lot of things that you can simply drag an image from your desktop KDE or from the side toolbar over. It will create a button or an image. I started with undo, redo, autosave, so in case it crashes, there's a recovery. Movie button, movie menus are in the style selection. You can choose if you want it in Motif style or in Windows style or whatever style is installed on your system. And that depends on the Qt widget set that you have on your system. I put in a movie dialog, which has become a central point. Project Wizard, temp dialog, since I extract and manipulate data on a temp drive, that can be those temp drives or those subdirectories in the temp drive can become pretty big. And the temp dialog helps you to keep those or to discover, to see the older directories you have and you just delete them. I started with a transcoding interface. It is implemented. I haven't gotten too much feedback on it yet, and I have not had time to play with it. But it's in there, so theoretically you should be able to plug in any video format and it transcode it. Hopefully, in one of the first beta versions, it will work. Template dialog, something very nice. I think only one other program that I know of has. You can load or use templates, and you can even use animated templates and animated menus, meaning that the menu itself does not have to be static anymore. Together with that, I've implemented an animation dialog. Let me see, feedback feature. If you have problems, I will pack in the information that I think it's useful. And if you have a problem, you can send that through email to me. And if I have time, I will look at it. What else? Let's see, text objects became transparent. So that is something that sounds fairly, well, trivial, but it gives you some really nice possibilities to play with the menus to have a semi-transparent text object that on top of that, you put on some pictures or some other movie buttons, and it looks really nice, really cool. If you take a look at some of the templates, or all of them, I believe, they do incorporate that feature. Let's see what else.
And that's what, just for the menus, Beryl?
Yeah, yeah. And what else? Context menu for the starter toolbar. I fixed a couple of things before, recently actually, just in the last 4 weeks. Before we had, I had problems generating the four color, the four color maps that are generated for the buttons. Sometimes it was working, sometimes it was not working. I'm pretty confident that by now it's working for good, so you shouldn't have any problems with that anymore. And I started, and this is kind of still work in progress, but I believe it's already better than the old version. I completely re-implemented the XML file generation. With the old version, there was a clunky code, it was working, but it kind of was working. People complained that they had problems in standalone players. So this is working now. This should be working now. And currently I'm working on, and that's what I got from listening to your show 2 weeks ago, Dan Danity from the Keynote Project. He was complaining that there is no tool to import the author's XML and the Spumo's XML files to generate a menu. That's what I'm currently working on, and I think it shouldn't take too long. I just need to find the time to do a couple more changes to have a halfway decent import functionality for those XML files, so you can generate it or you get something from your friend. You should be able to open it in DVD Author, and you might be able to work on it.
That's cool.
And that's about it.
Yeah, that's great.
Sounds like quite a bit.
Now, how soon until you'll have that implemented? Because I want it now.
All of what I just told you is implemented already, all of it, but the import functionality. And that's something, as I said, I'm currently working on, if I'm not working on a Windows laptop. And it should be, you know, within a week or so, it should be in to have the basic functionality there. Now, don't expect that you can read every 100% of the files, but you know, you will be able to read a fairly, I'd say, at least some basic XML files. I don't want to promise too much, but if there's a problem, of course, you know, you can look at the code, you can improve it, or you can let me know, and I can see if I can fix it for next time.
So all we need to do is just send all our problems and questions right to you.
Yeah, or send it to the mailing list. Actually, not the mailing list. Currently, I'm using more of the forum that SourceForge provides. And you might get not only answers from me, you might get even answers from some of the other guys, which is pretty nice.
That's cool.
So what you're saying, Beryl, is that any of our listeners can email you with a suggestion and just tell you that, of course, that they're a listener of the Tech Show, and you will immediately implement that and put it into the next version, which you will entitle, of course, you know, the Tech Show version.
Sure.
And there you have it, folks.
But so that I have currently a small group of people from Germany helping me.
Mm-hmm.
To give and giving me feedback, and that was something that was really missing so far in my project. That I have only so much time to program and to play around with my program.
Right.
So other people, I found a lot of times people would complain on some list somewhere that I don't know and I'm not aware of about my program. Instead of just sending it on my list or contacting me, and you know, whatever feedback I get. Is always good, and the more people complain about one missing feature, the higher it gets on my to-do list.
Sure.
And the sooner it will be implemented.
for.
It's as easy as that.
I understand completely. Trust me.
So, yeah, but coming back to Dan Bennedy, he's pretty busy with Kino and his multimedia backend MLT. Mm-hmm. And I found that a couple of the big utilities, multimedia utilities like Kdenlive, Live, Lives, and Kino, obviously, they're starting to implement MLT as their multimedia backend. Then GStreamer, what he talked about the other week, is also another nice media backend. I think it's great if a lot of those utilities actually focus around one or two media backends rather than having 20 different ones, because it will help improving just those two. It's similar to, I'd say, GNOME and KDE. If there were 200 other big desktop systems, I think a lot of resources would be wasted by having multiple implementation of the same code or the same functionality.
Awesome.
On the other news, on the other things that have changed, I don't know if you follow some of the other DVD authoring tools. There's a new tool that came out, or that I was not aware of before. It was K-Media Factory, which is a purely template-based DVD authoring tool. Then there are the PickWings tools. I can send you the link. But it's basically, it's a collection of some user interfaces, GUIs, that do allow you to burn and to convert video, pretty much what QDVD Author is supposed to do as well. But they have split it up into multiple programs. And Polidori, one of the first GUIs for DVD Author, I think that project has died down, and there was no development the past year. But DVD Styler is still up and in good development. So currently, I think there are two. I think there are two main DVD authoring GUIs. One is DVD Styler, and the other one is mine, QDVD Author.
Now, does DVD Styler have hooks into Kino, or allow, you know, provide that seamless transition from Kino into DVD Styler? Or is there no application that does that yet?
No, I don't think there's any application. And I contacted Dan, and I asked him if we could agree on a file format that we could exchange. But his goal seems to be more like outputting just a standard DVD menu,
uh-huh.
Nothing fancy. And for that purpose, DVD Author XML file format is sufficient. Well, as I said, the more people complain, the higher it gets on my list. I'm quite sure it's similar for Dan. And maybe eventually we might be able to agree on some type of convention to have it nicer. But that is something up for discussions. DVD Styler, the big difference between, or the big bonus that you get with DVD Styler, I know it's not for you guys, but it is a cross-platform DVD authoring tool. I mean, it runs under Windows and under Linux.
Now, would yours run under both if you use Qt under Windows?
I have programmed it purely as a Linux application. I think it would take quite some effort to have it cross-platform. Trolltech released Qt 4 for both platforms now under GPL, finally. But I looked into the new Qt4, and it has changed a lot. It's not just as easy as recompiling. It is all header files have changed, and some structures have changed. You have to link through to multiple libraries. So a lot has changed. And the work that must go into the KDE branch currently must be tremendous, because they're currently upgrading to Qt4. So that must be some hell of a work going on there.
Now, you're not... QDVD author isn't over on Qt4 yet, is it?
No. Eventually I might switch, but as I said, it's not as easy as just precompiling. I would have to go through every single file, change the header files, and probably do some other changes. And even the designer, the dialogs that I created, it's not... There's a conversion tool, but it's not... It doesn't seem to run perfectly. So there's still some clumsiness on the Qt4 side in that regard. And I also found, well, at least I believe, that the designer has lost a couple of features that were in the 3.x tree of Qt. So I hope that Trolltech will improve in that area as well. Well, they probably will over time, but for now I stick with my 3.x version.
It's a lot of work,
but,
huh?
It's a lot of work, but the benefit of Qt4, the reason why they put in those changes are because they want to start to compete. I think they target their system against Java Virtual Machine, and it would make perfect sense. I mean, it is fast, it is nice, it is C++, and the rendering engine is something that they completely reworked. So there are lots of benefits. If I would start a new program, I would start it in Qt4.
So, with your experience with Qt4 and so far, how long do you think it's going to take to port QDVD author over to Qt4? Or is that something you're not even really concerned about now at all?
No, I'm not really concerned about it now. I'm more concerned about putting out the first beta, getting in the last missing piece, which is the subtitles. And then switch to beta. And then down the road, I guess halfway down when we're in beta and when I find some time, and maybe if I find some other people helping with the development, I can start converting bits and pieces over. But as I said, you cannot have, you can probably not have Qt3 and Qt4 linking at the same time, so you have, the conversion has to be all at once, and then I guess from there on you have lots of bug fixes to do and changes.
Now, holiday season is coming up. Are you going to be mastering DVDs for your family?
Sorry, can you repeat?
I said the holiday season is coming up. Will you be mastering DVDs for your family?
Oh, definitely. As I said, the transcoding interface is there. One of the things that I want to get working is to author a DVD in NTSC here for my wife's family here in America. And maybe then with a push of a button, well, hopefully, convert it to PAL and send it over to Europe to my parents. That would be great.
Now,
but
it does both PAL and NTSC, doesn't it? QDVD offer right now? Yeah.
Yeah, you can create multi-format CDs, DVDs, sorry. You can create a DVD that has PAL and NTSC on the same DVD. A QDVD author is intelligent enough, hopefully, to figure out the changes and to generate the proper XML files and then burn it, or not, create the DVD structure.
All right. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah, when I started QDVD author some years ago, nearly two years ago, I was thinking that I just want to create a fast, easy-to-use user interface for some command line tools. It has become much more by now, and I'm amazed that it takes actually so long to make something work. I'm redoing a lot of the things that I started, that I did the first time, but I just did it on the fast. And as I said, like the four color scheme is one of the examples where I just have to redo basically the whole functionality again to make it work properly. Part of the problem was for me in the beginning, I didn't know too much about DVD authoring. So it was like learning by doing. And just a lot of things were unknown to me at that time.
Uh-huh. Man. And now you have a new job, you said.
Yeah, I have a new job. I have a new baby.
Congratulations.
Thanks. We have now two toddlers around the house. And
that'll keep you
actually
busy.
Oh, yeah, it does. And the first 3 months of our new one, of Ian, the progress of QDVD author nearly stalled. my new job, it's great. I really love it. I do programming on the server side on Linux, on the client side on Windows, and the best of it for me is 8 minutes driving distance from my home, which is bad news, of course, for QDVD author because I can't spend that 1 hour that I had every day in the metro before.
Well, now you can spend 52 minutes at home instead of an hour, right?
Yeah, but I can tell you one thing. I think at least 4 or 5 times I was sitting there at 2 a.m. and I just wanted to finish that one thing. And next thing I know, my wife comes down the stairs and says, "It's time for you to take a shower and go to work."
Oh, man.
You know, that's some bad news for you, Vero. QDVD author, your time to work on that's just going to slip more and more away as that little one gets older by each day.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could see the end of that.
Then by the time your children are 12, like my daughter is, you will be completely insane, just like me.
And I will start my own tech show.
There you go. Hell, you can probably take this one over by then, you know? Or just hook you right up.
You know, I invest quite some time after my kids go to bed, so I hope I can keep that up at least long enough that I find one or two other people helping me program, because currently I found some help in Germany, but they haven't really started yet.
Mm-hmm.
And currently I'm the only developer on the program. And 2 weeks ago I was jumping up the walls because somebody actually sent me a patch. And that hasn't happened for at least 6 months.
Neat. So well, you know, we're trying to get Pat to help you out here, but, you know, he said he's just a rat bastard and we can't get him to do anything, so...
He's too busy trying to make DVDs.
Yeah. He's too busy, you know, ripping DVDs instead of fixing
stuff. But that's another point. I mean, I'm spending so much time programming. I don't have as much time playing around with the other tools like Kino or KDE Live, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really... It's really I'm fairly single-sided currently in just programming and trying to do stuff. And the last time I tried to download some video from my camera, I realized that it was fairly hard using my program, actually. So I made a couple of small changes which helped improve the overall usability, mm-hmm. I think. But simply by not using the program as often as I should, probably it's hard for me to see what the end user has problems with.
Right.
Now, did you say that those changes you made, did you send those to the author?
Which changes?
You said that you were working on it and you found it a little difficult, so you made some changes.
Oh, yeah. I keep the CVS pretty updated. So the latest version on CVS currently is also the latest version I have here on my laptop.
Uh-huh.
The next release hopefully will come out within, like, as I said, within a month time frame. And from there on, we're on beta. And once we're switching to beta, I will start using the bug tracking system, Bugzilla from SourceForge. And hopefully, that's a big, big hope I have that eventually enough people will start using QDVD Author to, you know, get the whole thing rolling and get some more people on board.
Outstanding.
Now, what was that other application you were talking about? You said Kino, QDVD Author. What's the one next?
KDE Live?
KDE what?
KDE and Live, which is an LVE, linear video editor. Then Lives was the other one I was talking about.
Now, what is it? KDE M Live?
KDE N Live. Let me see. KDENLife.sf.net, I believe it is. Let me check. Another nice utility that I only found today is ptv.org. Let me check this one out.
Oh, good luck with that. That's a treat. You got to skip. You got to get rid of your QT environment over there and switch over to GNOME and GStreamer, and then you'll be good to go for PityV.
Yeah. Have you played around with Live?
And you really have to wait and try and get yourself an interview with the guys over at Lug Radio on that one.
Did you say Lives? L-I-V-E-S.
Yes.
I believe I have checked that out. Haven't used it in a little while. That's under the video for Linux stuff, right?
Yep. They just got a new web page, which looks fairly professional. As I said, a lot of the tools I've never used, but I know about, and there's some movement. KDE Live has not been active for some time on the Surface. But just about a month ago, Dan who actually activated the whole team again, and now they seem to get some work done on that part. So that might resurrect, hopefully. What are some of the other nice tools there that I know of? Media Factory, I already said, it's a template-based thing. I have not used that.
I don't think I've tried Lives yet. I was thinking of the one that comes with video for Linux. There's a graphical video for Linux editor I tried a long time ago, but had a lot of problems with it.
Yeah. Has anyone ever used the Ashoka?
I played around with it on the OS X side, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that application. I haven't used it extensively.
How is that? There's a lot of rave going on lately about that.
I looked at it probably a year and a half ago, I think it was, when it was just starting to go, and it looked fairly interesting, but I couldn't really do anything with it at the time. And I've been meaning to check it out, but just have never gotten back to it. I mean, I just really started playing around with Kino the past couple of weeks, and just trying to learn that.
Yeah, you should check it out. I think they too have a new webpage, and it looks very nice. And they're also trying, or they have a plug-in for the ML backend as well that they're working on. And I don't think you can actually use it as to import DVs. From your digital video camera, but you can have real-time video effects with it, and that seems to be going very well with it. I'm currently looking at some of the screenshots, and they look fairly professional.
Yeah, that's. I think did we talk with Dan Dennity about that? Was it about? Yeah, I forget who we talked to but had brought it up. It does look like an interesting project and something I definitely want to check out more. Have you tried Cinelera?
No. Every time I read about Cinelera, everyone is telling me it's something more for like the professional and it's not easy to use. So I don't even bother trying using it.
Okay, that's a treat and a half, Cinelera. That's something. Just getting it installed is something. But, you know, then using it's a whole other animal.
So you had it working?
Yes, I've actually used it, and it definitely it seems something that you'd have to sit down and start reading what documentation is out there about that. It's not I don't know if you've ever used any of the if you ever used iMovie or something like that. It's so simple. Cinelera is almost like the opposite end of the spectrum for that. It's you sit down and you're like, how do I even get something in here? I see you got a lot of different menus, and starts up with four different windows, like a preview window and another kind of live preview window, and then you have your media files and a timeline, and then a box of tools, and it's something you'd have to see. It's like using Cinelera is like using Blender. You just don't sit down and start, you know, plugging stuff in and you're good to go. You actually, I think, have to read the documentation. It's just a tough one.
And I hope to position QDVD also definitely more on the side of iDVD. I haven't used it, but I saw a friend of mine using it, and that's where I got the idea for my template dialog for. Just to make it as easy as possible, and if you have all the utilities and all the tools installed, it should go, you know, without a hatch. And I could even imagine my mom creating a DVD that way. But as I said, currently you have to have an installed system, so the installation is still a little bit tricky sometimes.
So if you're going for the whole iDVD kind of appeal, and Kino's going for the iMovie kind of appeal, you guys, you got to get together and really work that out there. That would be fantastic if you could do that.
Yeah, that would be great. But I think the styles of the two programs is already too different to have them look and feel the same. But I still believe it's possible to have them as both programs as easy to use. I mean, Kino is a child's play. You plug in the camera. Well, at least for me it was. I have a SUSE system. It comes installed. Or you can download it. And it worked off the bat for me. I haven't had to do any tricky stuff.
And, yeah, you know what?
I hope.
Vero, 1 second. We have to cut off of BenRev, unfortunately.
Bye, BenRev.
So let me bye-bye. Hold on a second. Cut them off, and now the real show can begin. Now, speaking of that, you do, you're messing around with video and codecs and everything. What distribution, again, are you using? You said SUSE?
I'm from Germany, so SUSE is pretty big over there. They started over there. And I'm using SUSE. I had my first install, was it in 95, around 95, 96, maybe.
Right.
So I'm SUSE ever since. And they, Novell bought SUSE, for those who don't know. SUSE released Open SUSE now, and they just released 10.0. And that had great reviews as the desktop system. And I firmly believe it could probably be as great as Ubuntu, if people would just start using it. It's really great. I love it. But on the other hand, I have not played too much with other distributions.
Now, with SUSE is in the same boat as just about all the other Linux distributions with regards to codec support and support for playing DVDs are protected. What's your feeling on that? I mean, are you using libdvd CSS? Are you using the Win32 codecs on your machines?
With SUSE, it's actually worse than I think with some of the other utilities. I don't think they have MP3 support, and definitely libcss is not installed. But there's a site called Pacman. I forgot how else, but they offer those codecs, and you know, once you install those RPMs, you're good to go. Unfortunately, in this world that we're living in, you just have to break some laws, I guess, to have something that should be free in the first place. It's not that I want to do it, but there's no other way to get to use my system to the full extent.
I know, and that stinks. I wish there was a way that you know we could do that without having to live in, you know, under that harbinger that it is illegal or technically illegal to do that, to use those codecs,
yeah,
to play those DVDs. And I don't know how are we going to get beyond that. I mean, we could say that everybody should be using. It would be nice if people were distributing content in open formats, what Xvid and Theora.
Theora, right?
But all the time, more and more, I just keep seeing Windows Media files and QuickTime movie files, and not another choice. But I'm not sure that QuickTime movie files is a problem, because I've been told by Apple representatives that it's an open standard that people can create the media player for it, and Apple should have no problem with it.
Right.
But I'm not 100% sure, but that's what Apple representatives said to me. It's out there. The specifications are out there. Just, you know, people can create a QuickTime player for Linux. And they did. It's called MPlayer or Zine or even Totem, all those, if you have the right codec, which unfortunately seems to be the Windows codec.
Totem.
Yeah, you can play it. But, you know, is that legal still? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate that you actually have to work in that gray zone and work that way. And it would be great if everyone would use Theora, but unfortunately, or Xvid, unfortunately it's not working that way. And, I mean, most people that I know of, including myself, I would not have a problem with paying for the codecs. But it's not that easy either. I mean, you cannot just go to some of the developer of the codecs and say, you know, give me the Linux version. They don't have that. So you have to get it from some place where it's not the official version. And I really hate that circumstance, and I hope that this will change eventually.
Someday, perhaps. Someday. The right people have to complain, though, I think.
Yeah.
And in the interim, I guess people are just going to, you know, continue doing what they've been doing, and they're going to, you know, you have a computer and you own a DVD player and you bought the DVD. Well, by God, you ought to be able to play the damn DVD on it and watch it. And,
exactly. And the media companies that produce those DVDs, they should have a big interest of allowing people to do exactly that. But for some reason, they don't seem to get the message.
Well, see, now I'm wondering if the big companies that are actually, you know, if the big companies even really care, or if they actually assume that, you know, as long as you bought the damn DVD and you have a DVD player, you know, go ahead and play it.
When they're knocking on the door and dragging you out, we'll have our answer.
Right. And yeah, that's a big thing to drag out the door right there, I'll tell you.
See, now, Pac-Man, isn't that... No, I'm thinking Arch has its own repository or packaging system. What is the Arch packaging system? It's not Pac-Man. No, what is it? Damn you, listeners.
No clue, man.
Put it in the chat.
I don't know, but I installed, as I said, I'm not at work. I have the privilege of being the master of my own system, and I have installed Kolinux, and it comes with Debian, and I love apt-get. It's just so easy to use. It's something that RPM probably should have been, but never gotten that far. And that's a really cool command line tool that is actually usable and helping people install and keep the system up to date, whereas with an RPM system, you always have to try to find the right packages, which kind of stinks.
Oh. I see your dissension from SUSE there.
Yeah.
Well, in SUSE you have the graphical installation tool, and that solves all the dependencies for you. But it's not coming from a command line tool. It's not as easy as just popping up a command shell and typing in a command. You actually have to have an X Windows running.
Next thing you know, he's going to be telling us he's running Slackware.
I might get that. As I said, OpenSUSE 10 is out. Maybe I'm a little bit tempted in installing it. And I just got, with my computer magazine, which I get from Germany, they gave me a free one-year subscription to VMware, and that's for Linux and for Windows. So I might be able to run 10 different operating systems on my system at the time. That would be great.
What magazine gives you a free subscription to VMware?
That's called CT, Computer Technic. Computer technology, and it's one of the biggest. It is the best computer magazine I know of, and it's one of the bigger ones in Germany.
And they're giving everybody a free subscription to VMware for a year.
Yep.
Now, does that just come with the magazine, or did you have to subscribe to the magazine to get that?
No, it comes with the magazine. If you go to Germany, you get the magazine. It's German.
Wow.
To get this.
Man,
where the hell are all the English magazines with cool crap in them like that, huh?
Yeah.
Actually, you will find a couple of cool magazines in some of the bookstores. I don't want to name names currently, but some of them do actually make their way over from Europe.
Hustler.
And it seems like only the European ones seem to come with cool stuff on the DVDs and the CDs, whereas the Americans seem to come more with adware and trialware, this type of software.
Wait, you're talking about the difference between the European magazines and the United States magazines?
Yeah,
you're not talking about the difference between the European magazines in Europe and the European magazines in the United States, are you?
No.
Okay.
It seems like in the magazines, the computer magazines that you get from Europe, most of them do actually come with a CD or nowadays with a DVD pack with software utilities and Linux distributions. And
you're talking like Linux, like Linux format, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
And those are great magazines. The only downside is over here when they get to the United States, they're
like $15 bucks.
They're pretty expensive, but they're awesome.
But sometimes it might be worth it. If you have something like a free subscription to VMware, for example, just go ahead and check it out. And I'm quite sure this is not something that only that one magazine has. It might come out with other magazines as well.
We need to do that. You know, we need to get something going like that, and maybe our our TLLTS magazine. We can do that.
A free subscription, a free unlimited subscription to VMware.
But who needs VMware when in the next version of Linux, Xen Virtual Machine is going to be implemented? You know, you run it, just you install a standard Linux distribution, and you have everything built in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been looking at Xen, and it looks really interesting. Can you run non-Linux OSs under Xen?
Yes and no. If you have the source code, Xen, I believe, has to be compiled into the kernel. It has to. You have to apply a couple of kernel patches. But what is the name of the other big virtual machine for Linux?
The name? Oh, it's not Box. What is it? It starts with a U, doesn't it?
I believe the second version or the second
QEMU.
I believe they don't need a special kernel patch or anything like that. So it should be possible with that. And you mentioned Box. It's definitely possible to run another operating system like Windows under Box, because Box simply emulates computer hardware.
Right.
Well, simply.
Now, QEMU is another one. It's just, it doesn't allow you to run another like Windows under Linux yet. Or does it? No. Yes? I don't think it does.
I don't know. But that's why Wine went better, right? So that I can finally, after 2 years having Uru, one of the MIST series, I can hopefully soon start playing Uru under Linux.
Playing what under Linux?
Uru, do you know the MIST series? Sign computer games. It's an adventure interactive game. MIST, Ribbon, Exile, and
yes.
Uru. Yeah.
Oh.
And unfortunately, I have not been able to play that game for 2 years because I don't want to start Windows only to play a game.
Have you tried playing it under Wine, the new version of Wine now?
No, it won't, because it's a DirectX 9 game. But, transcoding just last week released a DirectX 9 software implementation. So I hope. I really hope that this will bring many more games to the Linux platform. Swift Shader, they call it.
Yeah. I hope so, too. Well, we'll see. Farrell, we actually have to get closing up here because it's past our time and Link's got to get going.
Yeah, it's past my bedtime.
Well, thanks for contacting me and, you know, just keep on looking on my page once in a while. I always keep the progress up to date, so, and the CVS. So, and, you know, check it out once in a while.
Oh, definitely. I plan on hopefully be using it very soon.
Yeah, Beryl, good stuff. And yeah. We really appreciate you coming back on the show and talking with us. It's really cool having you on.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate you guys calling, giving me a call.
Yeah, you have a happy Halloween.
Thanks. Same to you guys. And I will hope the force might be with me.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just don't get cut in half.
I have to go now and do some sword training.
There you go. Good luck with your Jedi training.
Qui-Gon Verrill, soon to be Darth Verrill.
I hope not. But let's see how that works together with the Guinness.
That's right.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care, man.
All right, bye.
Thanks a lot, bro. All right, everybody. Hey, and that's it for me,
at least.
It's it for me, at least, on this episode 107 of the Linux Link Tech Show. That's a whole lot. You know, I keep saying it every week. It's like a whole lot of episodes, but it really is a whole lot. Considering that we do like, you know, an hour and a half show, sometimes an hour and 45 minutes every week. That's a lot. You know, and I know all these other podcasters, quote unquote, you know.
Blowing it out your ass.
Yeah, the other podcasters, they say, well, I've got 200 shows already. That's because they do one every day and it's 7 minutes long. This is a show. That's what it is. Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, guys, this is Link. Thanks again for listening to us on 107. Catch us next week on Wednesday for number 108, when perhaps we'll have some special guest people like Pat and Alan here at the show.
And Link won't be here then.
Yeah, probably, right? Okay. Have a good one. Good night, everybody.
Wait.
Oh, I got to keep talking because Dan's looking for the exit music.
I thought I had another.
Something. Oh, yeah. By the way, all the shit that I was actually going to talk about tonight, you can just go over to my web blog and read about that. I'll have it on within the next day or so. You know.
What stuff were you talking about?
Well, you'll have to go read it at my web blog, won't you? It's at link.homeunix.org, 8080. where you can always, where you can also find that really.
Sorry.
That really horrible bash script, that horrible and unreliable bash script to download all the podcasts is also over there, too. So.
Yeah.
Are you ready to do that yet without killing me?
Turn
the volume down. Down.
I'll tell you what. I got to move all this stuff in the right thing.
Move it in the right thing.
All right. Oh, wait. I got to play. Yeah, and then, yeah. Hold
we
on.
We even had a comment we were going to play tonight, too, but we never got to.
Oh, crap, that's right. Darn it, we'll play it next week.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll play it next week. Just keep us.
All right, here we go.
Remind us.
Play it out.
There we go. Good night, everybody.
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. My fist little fishy needs us growing, too.
Anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's over.
That's the end. What are you shaking your head for, Link?
How about if I paint that fine ass?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Turn me on, big boy.
My tongue brush.
Yeah. No. Damn.
You know, that's the thing with them pornos. You never hear that shit in real life, you know?
Well, I hear it when you come over.
Right.
You say, "Woo, I want to paint your ass like a fence."
Whitewash you, right?
Yeah. Woo.
With my tongue brush.
Those bastards didn't show up today. Oh, I didn't stop the recording of the MP3 yet.